The scriptures do not say that the body is real for the knower, but they say so for the ignorant. In reality, there is only the non-dual supreme, which is one without a second, and nothing else exists except it. And the supreme is known as something without beginning and without end, immeasurable, pure, innocent, existential, conscious, eternal, blissful, imperishable, all-pervading, non-dual, established always in oneness. With a face in every direction, one is unable to renounce it or accept it, existing without any foundation or support, attributeless, actionless, subtle, artless, self-evident, pure, enlightened, and incomparable. Thus you enjoy most blissfully the undifferentiated self, which you have known by your own experience as indivisible. Thus be a Siddha, a fulfilled one.
Scriptures do not say that the body is real for the knower, but they say so for the ignorant. This has to be understood clearly. Particularly for the Western mind, this is very confusing. Western mind has its own tradition. The Western mind is really a developed tradition of Greek attitude. Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, they have built the foundation of the Western mind. Western mind insists on the fact, objective truth, objective reality. Objective reality means it is not dependent on anyone. Objective statement of a fact is for all. It is not said for some. It is not true for some. It is universally true. I say, this tree is green. This is a factual statement. If I make certain conditions that this tree is green only for Hindus, not green for Mormons, my statement is true only for Christians, not true for Buddhists, then the Western mind will say, this statement is subjective, not objective, imaginary, not real. If the statement is real, that this tree is green, then it is true for everyone, forever. It is unconditionally true, universally true. Because of this insistence on objective truth, West could develop scientific minds. Objectivity must be determined. Individual, subjective knowers must be put aside. The mind must not get involved. The reality must be looked with a neutral mind. And whatsoever you say must be true for all. Because of this Greek insistence, West could develop science. Science is the search for objective reality. The Eastern attitude is totally different. They say, we are not concerned with facts. Really, the Eastern mind says there are no facts which are unaffected by the individual looking at those facts. Every fact is, in a certain way, affected. Every statement is an interpretation. Every knowledge is personal knowledge. No knowledge is impersonal. Now, in the West, there is one thinker, Michael Pollan E. He has written one of the greatest books of this century, Personal Knowledge. Now, he says, he is now the representative of the Eastern mind in the West. He says, every knowledge is personal. When you say something, you are involved in it. You cannot say anything impersonal. Even a fact is just an interpretation. When I say this tree is green, what I am saying only this, that when I look at this tree, I feel greenness in me. My mind interprets this tree as green. A different mind, a mind from some other planet, may not see this tree as green, because green is not a fact, but an interpretation. There is nothing as green in the tree. Rays reflected from the tree reach to my eyes, then those rays penetrate in, are translated, and my inside feels greenness. That greenness is not in the tree. You may wonder, if we all close our eyes, then these trees are not green. They cannot be green without our eyes. They are green through our eyes, otherwise they are not green. When there is no light, all colors disappear. In your room, you may have many colors. But when the light is put off, there is no color. Because color is just reflected rays. If there are no rays, then there are no colors. But even if there are colors and there is no one to see in the room, there are no colors. This is now a scientific knowledge, scientific observation. When you move out of your room, all the colors move with you. The room becomes colorless. Because color needs three things. Rays, objects to be reflected upon, and eyes. Three things. Then there are colors. Otherwise there is no color. So when I say that this tree is green, it is a personal statement. And if it looks green to you also, that only shows that you have just eyes like me, nothing else. If the tree looks green to you also, it only means we have similar instruments, nothing else. And then too, it is not really. When I see the tree as green, my greenness and your greenness may not be the same. They cannot be really, because howsoever similar eyes we have, they differ. So my greenness may have a different shade, and your greenness may have a different shade. And there is no way to compare that my greenness is your greenness. I cannot put my greenness, feeling of greenness, out on a table. You cannot put your greenness out on a table so that we can compare whether whatsoever we have been calling green is the same thing. That's impossible. So it is just a compromise. Just a compromise. There are certain persons, many will be here, who are color blind. In 10 persons, one person is somehow color blind. Bernard Shaw was a color blind. He couldn't see yellow, different from green. Yellow and green both looked similar to him, and he could never recognize this fact until he was 60. How? 60 years passed and he couldn't recognize. And then on his birthday, someone presented a suit, a green suit to him. But the friend had forgotten to send a tie also. The tie was not there. So Balasubramanian went to purchase a tie, and he purchased a yellow tie, just to match. Balasubramanian's secretary said to him, why you are purchasing a yellow tie? The whole suit is green. Balasubramanian said, this is green. Who says this is yellow? What do you mean by yellow? Then for the first time he became aware that he cannot see yellow. He has been always seeing yellow and green as green. Both were green for him. Blind spots in the eyes. Whatsoever we know is a personal knowledge. Eastern attitude has always been this, that all knowledge is subjective. Not only that, but all statements are also personal. That means many things. The implication is very deep. It means that a statement made is always made to someone. It is not a pure statement made in the vacuum. This sutra says that Sruti, these scriptures, the words of the knowers, have two planes of expression. One for the ignorant, one for the non-ignorant. One for those who are deep in their ignorance, unaware of their inner center. The scripture speaks to them in a different language. To the knowers, the scripture speaks in a different language. We have two words and two traditions of the scripture. One is Veda. Another is Vedant. The word Vedant is very useful. This Upanishad belongs to Vedant. Vedant means the end of the Veda. Vedant means beyond Veda. Vedant is the statement for the knower. Veda is the statement for the ignorant. Veda speaks the same truth, but for the ignorant. Vedant speaks the same truth, but for the knower. But then their statements become quite contrary. For example, for a knower of oneself, one who has realized his own self, there is no body, there is no matter, there is no world. Because then everything becomes just consciousness, manifestations of consciousness. Now, even physics says there is no matter, only energy. Just 50 years before, physics could never think even that there is only energy, no matter. Now there is no matter. Because the more physicists penetrated into matter, the more they came nearer and nearer to energy. Now matter is completely non-existential. For science, now there is no matter. Science has penetrated into the immaterial energy. Now they say it is energy. And if you look and see matter, it is illusion. It is just energy moving in such a great speed that the appearance of solidity is created. Your earth, you are sitting on, the trees all around it, the stones, the rocks, there is nothing like matter. The rock is not matter, but just electrons moving in such a great speed. Because of their speed, the rock appears to be solid. The speed is such, so great, that the solidity appear. It is not there. Just energy moving in fast speed creates matter, the appearance of matter. Really, the language of modern physics is nearer Vedanta than anything. Modern physics, Planck or Einstein or others, now they are talking in terms of Vedanta. Shankara says the world is illusory, it only appears. Now, Einstein says the matter is illusory, it only appears. It only appears, it is false. It is in our eyes, not in reality there. Vedanta penetrated even more. Vedanta says there is no energy even, only consciousness. These are three layers. Matter, the first appearance of things. Penetrate in, go deep, and you enter a second layer, which is energy. Matter disappears. Only energy, vibrant energy, vibrations, but nothing material, nothing substantial in it. Enter more deep and you reach the third layer. Then energy also disappears, only consciousness. In your body also, these are the three layers. First layer, your physical body. Second layer, your mental body, which is energy, and third layer, your self, which is consciousness. Everywhere, these are the three layers. But when you enter a deeper layer, the first layer disappears, because then it is nothing but a manifestation. Physics says matter is nothing but energy moving, energy dynamic. Vedanta says energy is nothing but consciousness moving, consciousness dynamic. It is possible any day possible now, that even science may drop from the energy layer and may come to encounter the consciousness layer. 50 years before, science couldn't conceive that matter is just an illusion. 50 years more, it may be possible even for science to say that energy is nothing but just consciousness, condensed, moving fast. If consciousness is reached, the whole world becomes just a manifestation of it. This is what it means. That the world is illusory, the body is illusory, everything is illusory except pure consciousness. That pure consciousness is known, named as Brahma. That's the basic reality. But to the ignorant, this cannot be said directly. The ignorant believes in matter. He lives on the first layer. He doesn't know anything beyond it. And because he is unaware of anything beyond it, the language of the beyond will be meaningless, absurd. So for the ignorant, the scriptures speak in a different language. They say body is true, body is real, the world is true, the world is real. But you are not the body. This is the way how they detach you from the body, how they allow you to move away from the body, how they destroy our identification with the body. And when this identification is destroyed, suddenly you yourself will become aware that there is no body. It existed only in the attachment. It existed only through identification. When your identification is broken, you yourself will come to know there is no body. There is a beautiful story about Rinpoche. He used to say, there has been never a Buddha. This Sakyamuni, Gautam Siddhartha, is just a false story. And he will be a follower of Buddha. And he will worship before Buddha's statue every day in the morning, and will weep and dance. And after that, when he will speak, he will say, there has been no Buddha. This Sakya Muni, Gautam Siddhar, is just a false story. So one day someone asked him, you go on worshipping Buddha and you go on saying that this Gautam Buddha, Sakya Muni, is just a false story. How do you reconcile these two contradictory things? You appear absurd, irrational. So Rinjaya said, I believed in Sakya Muni, Gautam Buddha. I believed in him that he was born, then he lived on this earth for 80 years, then he achieved realization, then he taught. I believed. But that belief was the belief of an ignorant one. Then by and by I followed this man who has never been here. By and by I began to love this man and became a shadow of him. Then I came to realize the body of Rinjaya is just an illusion. My body is an illusion. Then deeper I went and I realized my mind is an illusion. Then I came to know the innermost center of my being. The day I realized myself, my body, my mind, both became experiences. Now I know this Sakya Muni was never born. Because now I know that this Rinjaya was never born. Because how a body can be born which is not there? Just an appearance. Now I realize that this mind of Rinjaya was never born. So how the mind of Gautam Buddha can be born? This man has never been. The unborn center once known, the undying center once known, the whole interpretation of existence changes. But the man insisted. The questioner said, then why you go on worshipping again? I have seen you this very morning in a prayerful mood before the statue of the Buddha. And you say this man was never born, so how you can make a statue of a man who was never born? So why you go on thanking him? Rinjaya is reported to have said that I'll go on thanking him because following him I could realize this non-dying, this deathless, this unborn consciousness. I have followed him. I became a shadow of him. Only then could I realize his death. So I am grateful to him. To him who was never born, who has never been. But these are words for knowers. If you say to someone that Buddha was never born, then he cannot conceive why to worship him, why to thank him. Then he cannot conceive, then everything becomes inconceivable for him, irrational. So Upanishad speaks in two languages. They say body is there, the world is there, you are in it. So find out who you are in your body. When you have found it, the body will disappear. Then the world will disappear. That doesn't mean that these rocks will not be there. They will be there. But then you will not see any solidity in them. That doesn't mean that these rocks will not be there. But then you will not be able to see that those rocks are dead. They will become alive. Not only alive, you will feel those rocks have consciousness of their own. Then this whole world becomes a manifestation of consciousness, manifestation of Brahma. The world disappears as it is, but a new world arises, the world of consciousness. the world of matter becomes illusory, the world of consciousness becomes real. Why? When you are attached to your body, you feel the world as material. When you move away from your body, centered in your consciousness, the whole world becomes consciousness. What you know about your world is really your knowledge about yourself. It is just a subjective reflection. If you think that you are a body, the world is material. If you know you are not a body, consciousness, the world becomes consciousness. The world is just an interpretation of your own states of mind. Move in and the outer layers disappear. Be rooted in your being, and this sutra says you become a siddha. A siddha means the fulfilled one. Thus you endure most blissfully in the undifferentiated self which you have known by your own experience as indivisible. Thus be a siddha, a fulfilled one. Move in, reach to the third layer of consciousness. Move away from body, matter. Move away from energy, mind. Go deep to the ultimate core, to the last point of your existence, the center, consciousness. You are a siddha. Why? Why a fulfilled one? Because then no desire arises. Because then no suffering is possible. Because then you are constantly merged into bliss. Because then nothing is to be achieved. You have achieved all that without which there is desire. You have achieved that one through which everything is achieved. One becomes fulfilled after calm. It's important.